Actually, you know, I messaged Brad about a month ago, 6 weeks ago. I said, Brad, when am I coming back? I want to come back. I got something. Come on, get me back in. And so he says, oh, really? Are you seriously? Which one do you want? So it's so good. I love this place. I love this place. I've always loved this place. But I love this place. I love the generations here. I love the generations engaging. I love the moms and dads that are raising up their kids. I'm so excited for you younger generation. I'm so excited for your next generation, the ones that you're going to raise up, you know, and call in. Because you're going to be a spiritual dad, and you're going to be a spiritual mom, and they're going to have kids. And that means you're going to have grandkids. And grandkids are amazing. They are. Who has grandkids? Yes, they're amazing. You have no idea how wonderful grandchildren are. When you're a parent, it's like this. When I have my kids, I go, like if David, my son David, was goofing around right now, I would go, I would do that. Right? But if it was my grandson, Colin, I would go, oh, isn't that cute? That is so wonderful. Oh, my gosh. Look at how he is. And look at how he sasses his dad. That is hilarious. I wanted to talk to you today about generosity and honor. And last time I spoke, I spoke about the kingdom of God as our culture. It's our culture that we bring to the table. It's the kingdom of God that actually changes where we are. And we are continually looking, I don't know about you, but I'm continually looking for places where I can bring influence, bring the kingdom influence into a situation. And that's what I look for now. I used to love, and I love Church Mountain. I love being in the presence of God. I love being with the family. I love all this stuff. But God has been stirring in my spirit where I need to take that righteousness, peace, and joy, and I need to impart it into certain situations where I am. And right now, there are some interesting things that are happening in my life that I thought, at one particular time, I thought, yes, I'm a Church Mountain guy. I'm going to be a pastor forever and ever. And then I got commissioned onto the Business Mountain with some apostolic individuals. And the whole time I got commissioned on the Business Mountain, I'm actually there. They're in a service, a commissioning service. And I'm going, nope, you know something? I'm not feeling this at all. Nope. I'm a Church Mountain guy. I love the presence of the Lord. I could worship like 7/24 all the time. Right? 365 worshiping. Oh, I could totally do that. That would be awesome. I mean, I love being in the presence of God. Why would you want to go anyplace else? But the reason why he wants you to go someplace else is because he wants you to be. Not that this is not useful. Actually, I say when I'm in the presence of God, I get to waste time. And it's a wonderful wasting my time. It's the best wasting of time. And in fact, you need to waste time quite a bit. Every day, if you get a chance to waste time in the presence of God, in His face. Because it's not really a waste. It's the best thing you can do. But so I got commissioned onto business, and I'm thinking, I don't get this. But I found when I went into certain environment, the anointing would come on me. I could like a preaching anointing. It would felt the same way. It would come on, and except I would talk to people, and things would happen. So I just gonna have a little drink here. So it's about the kingdom. And it's about bringing righteousness, peace, and good joy. It's about discipling nations. And how do you disciple nations? Too many times we think discipling nations means, well, I'm going to go, I work at the Gap. And so I'm going to have a Bible study at the Gap. And that's what we think is going to happen is discipling nations. If you try to do that at the Gap, I'm sure your manager might say, hey, what's going on? You're supposed to put clothes on the shelf. You know? Yeah. It's nice that you're having a Bible study. There'll probably not be so nice about it. But anyway, so it's where you're going to bring influence, where you're going to bring the kingdom, and where you're going to bring, people are going to say, hey, what's going on? I had this gig. I haven't done this in like 20 years. And I tried this thing last year. Somebody asked me, Chris, would you like to be on a television show? And I said, sure, that'd be cool. Yeah, we want you to be Santa Claus on a television show. And I thought, I haven't done Santa in 20 years. This would be wild. Yeah, sure. And they forgot about it. Said, sorry, we changed our mind. All right. And so, but this year I get a call. And they say, Chris, will you come and audition for this part? And it's a four shows just before Christmas, live, phone in, talking to Santa. So that's like you have to improv the whole time. I mean, it was just a total stretch. It wasn't too much of a stretch because I always had a great imagination. And so anyway, I went to the audition and I aced the audition. I couldn't believe how good it was, I tell you the truth. And I was having so much fun doing this. I thought, this is crazy. Are they going to pay me? Yeah, and they said, they're actually going to pay me $100 an hour to do this. And I'm thinking, like, are you serious? This is too good. And so we did this photo shoot promo shoot last week. And we went to this house that was imagine Santa's house, what it would be like on the inside. And now this place was like Santa's house on steroids. It was just crazy. I walked in there and I said, our producer said, listen, it's going to be decorated in here. Oh, well, that's nice. I loved it. If you know me, you know I like Christmas, right? I've never in my wildest imagination. It was exceedingly abundantly more than I could ask or even imagine. And so I walked in and it was like, wow. So we did it was complete live. And it was like, okay, this is the concept, Chris, talk, right? And so I had lots of fun. But my producer comes up to me afterwards and she says, you know, there was a few glitches and delays and things like that. And she says to me, you're the most unique person I've ever met. And I said, well, it's not every day you run into Santa Claus, you know. And no, she says, no, seriously. She says, you're so kind. And I said, well, that's Santa's supposed to be kind. I just wanted to stay in character the whole time. And she's seriously, you're so accommodating, you're so kind. Why? And I know why. It's because I have the kingdom of God living within me, and I'm bringing righteousness, peace, and joy wherever I go. I'm going to honor her, even if she was very gracious and she was very kind herself, and it was such a wonderful experience. So today I want to talk to you about continuing in honor and being generous. And I know that this house is an honoring house, and it's a generous house. And I have proof. Even while I was coming, being prayed for, Nigel comes up to me, and he shares his donuts with me. Isn't that good? That was like a prophetic thing. I don't know if you noticed that, but that's prophetic. That's what this house is like. Right? There's a donut. Here, have a donut. There's one right here. You got one too. That's right. You're awesome, Nigel. I love it. I said, God, how... But you have to be. But also, the thing about honor, and Holy Spirit was talking to me about you. And the honor that you bring. You know, many times when things happen in a leader's life, they usually almost go into exile. They do. Because they don't know where to go. And they can end up here and there. But you stayed and you honored this house. And you know what? That honor is, it resonates in this house. Thank you. Look at that. This is such a great place. I just want to bless you for that. So let's take a look at Romans chapter 12. Oh my gosh, Romans 12. I mean, I was waiting on the Lord for this word. The Holy Spirit says, I want you to look at Romans 12. And I went, oh man, that's honor. What's that got to generosity? That's kind of a more heavier word than I was anticipating. But okay, let's take a look. And so Holy Spirit started to speak to me about it. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship, or reasonable act of worship, if you read it from the King James. Let me go to this other. My print is a little bit bigger on my phone. Do not, so reasonable act of worship, laying your life down. The Holy Spirit, the Word of God, is saying, this is reasonable. This is your reasonable. What's the word? What's reasonable? Reasonable is no big deal. Like, this is easy peasy, lemon squeezy. Right? Reasonable. Reasonable act of worship. And worship isn't just what we did this morning here with this fantastic worship team that brought us into the presence of the Lord. And our fantastic... What's the techie's name? Daniel. Daniel, you are a master on that. I will tell you, the sound is fantastic, and I just wanted to honor you with that today, because good sound is hard to get, and thank you for that. Reasonable act of worship. So it's not just singing songs, it's not just raising hands, it's laying down your life, crawling up on the sacrifice and say, God, what do you want to do with me today? What are we doing today, Papa? What's going on? Laying down your whole body. Reasonable act of worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. And I was thinking about that. What does that mean? Highly than you ought. Now, sometimes when we think of, I don't know if you've read this thing. At first, excuse me, it was the donut I had just a few minutes ago. It was great. Second time it was great.
One more?
No, I'm good. Thank you. So the first thing, when I read this thing, is don't think of yourself as highly as you ought to. And at first I thought, oh, don't think of yourself as up here. But when you continue to read, it doesn't say that at all. It talks about your identity. That's what it's saying. It's not a matter of like, oh, I'm up here and I'm really special because I got to be Santa Claus and you didn't. And it has nothing to do with that, but it talks about identity. So continue on. Let's read this on. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance to the faith God has distributed to you. For just as each of us... So this is the crux. This is what he's getting to. For just as each of us has one body and many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So this is not about hierarchy, or it's about positioning or anything. It's about who are you connected to?
God.
Yes, you are. So don't think of yourself, if you are not an I, right? Don't think of yourself, well, I hope to be an I, but in reality you might be an index finger. But if you ever hurt one of these, everybody get out there, take your index finger out, okay? Now put it like this, and bite really hard. No, don't really do that. You know, if you did, it would be painful, right? And if you bit hard enough, and I actually bit myself by accident, don't ask. Don't ask how that happened, but I bit my finger by accident, and it hurt for days. And like, all my brain could do was think about this finger. Well, I don't know. It was like the sandwich was here. and it was like, I have to wear glasses to eat sandwiches. And this is no good. This is crazy. So don't think of your... it's not about positioning. It's about who are you connected and where are you connected. Right? So somebody had a word for me today about bricks. Bricks, and she has no idea what a powerful word that was. But you see, we are being built together. In Timothy it says, we are being built together as the house of God. We are lively, living stones, but lively stones being built together. So this, what we're talking about here, what the Apostle Paul is talking about is we're one body and we have many members. Right? Otherwise, we can't all be thumbs. It would be great to have thumbs, but if we were all thumbs...
Then how do you write with?
That's right. How do you do anything? We're all thumbs, right? And so I appreciate those around me. I honor those who are around me. I was in prayer last month. The Holy Spirit was reminding me of I was thinking about the men, the spiritual fathers that were in my life at certain times. And there were times that they said things to me that I thought were really mean. And I didn't think they were very correct. And I thought, what the heck do these guys think? What is with this? And they're calling me to a higher place. And at the time, I just thought, this is not nice. They're not being nice to me. They're just riding me. They're doing it just because. And, you know, I was thinking about... Man, I was very fortunate to have many leaders speak into me, and while that process was going on, I didn't think I was fortunate. But now, when I get to look back, I get to say, man, that was really good. I'm so grateful for those men. I'm grateful for those women. And even though they said things that were painful, I'd rather not have painful. I'd rather you just tell me I'm fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, that is so much easier. You know, because I can sort of fake humility. Oh, go on. You know, no. But I now embrace when my leaders. When I guess it comes with maturity. Maybe it comes with maturity. You think? Maybe.
Yeah,
maybe just. So I go when things are going straight in my life. I go to spiritual dads and I go, hey. This part of my life really stinks right now. What's going on? Can you give me insight? What am I doing wrong? Right? I'm going to tell you right now, if you are a young person and you embrace this, you will mature, I won't say faster, but you will mature, you know, because it's not a race. So you'll mature. Here we go. All right, it belongs to all members. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy. You guys do that so well here. Way to go. And I'll tell you a secret, not many places do this. I've been to lots of places, and they don't. Just bless the leaders of the house to let that flow, because it's important. It's the revelation of Jesus, spirit of prophecy. It's awesome. If in accordance to your faith, it is serving, then serve. Now, some people, I had a young man come up to me one time, and he said he wanted to speak at one of the prayer meetings I was leading. He said, I'd really love to come and preach one day. And I said, really? Yeah, I want to preach. I got this word. It's burning in my heart. I want to do it. I said, fantastic. Where do you serve? And he looked at me as if I had no head. Right? He went, huh? Yeah, where do you serve? Where do you serve? Where do you plug in? Where do you help? Where do you do what? What is it? You want to just come up here and preach? Yeah. I said, do you know how many toilets I had to clean to get up here? Huh? Do you know how many times I had to lift equipment and set it up? You know, I had to, before I could get a big people thing, you know, a worship team with big people, before I had one of those, I had one with little people. That was the requirement. Okay, Chris, they wanted to see, let's see what's in your heart. Let's see how you serve. Let's see what's in there. And so I had little kids for many, many years. And it was like, man, you're patient. No, I have a vision. I'm supposed to be here. And I know in order to get here, I have to take care of all these other things. Because it develops and builds my character. Right? It doesn't make me, I don't become entitled that way. Ooh. I don't become because I serve. And I come and serve. So presently we attend a church. We've been there for a couple of years called Embassy. And it's a big church. And we've never been in a big church before as big as this. I used to call it the mall. We go to the mall. And they'd say, why do you call it the mall? I said, you know, like when you go to the mall, you're lucky to see anybody you actually know.
Or the movies.
Yeah, so we would go in there, but our posture from the very beginning, the Holy Spirit says to Craig, Chris, I want you to serve this person, this person, this person, and this person. Just serve them. Just serve. So if you have the gift of serving, bless your heart. Do it more. Build on it. Some people might not think. Marilyn is... if you know Marilyn, she likes to be hospitable, and she likes to make things and have parties and bring things over. And she was in charge of a prayer meeting. Well, we were in charge of helping with a prayer meeting, serving in a prayer meeting. And it was started at 10 p.m. and went to 2 a.m. And I know. You should try preaching to people at 1 a.m. It is fun. But we would have a break in the middle, and Marilyn would prepare a feast in the middle of this thing. And everyone said, oh, man, is this what you do for a living, Marilyn? Is this what you do? And Marilyn would say, no, I'm actually a financial advisor. This is what I do for worship. That's what she's saying. This is what I do for worship. This is worship. It's here to serve you. It's what I do. So, you want a kebab? You know, and she would make them. They would say, "She does." And then they say, "Does she make this all the time for you?" Yes, she does. Ha ha ha. Yeah. And they, does she actually make bread? Yeah, she makes bread every week. Every week. Does she make cookies? Yes. Do you know how hard it is for me to stay relatively flat? All the cookies and all the cakes, because her heart is to serve. His heart is to serve. Let's continue. If it's teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is to give, then give generously. You know, when the church exploded in the second chapter of Acts, when it was birthed into being, in verse 42, you read that they were generous with each other. And that's how people knew about them. It wasn't only the signs and wonders. It wasn't only the signs and wonders. It wasn't only the miracles. It was the fact that these people loved everybody and they were generous with everybody. Generous. You know, I'll tell you a story. It was really quite sad. It had to do with our one of our prayer meeting we lead. And so... we were relatively new, and we said to this one woman, who was very, very lovely, older lady, I saw her going, it's like, where are you going? Because it's 2 o'clock and the buses don't run, and she didn't have a car. And it was like, she says, oh, it's okay. I said, no, where are you going? She says, I'm just going to walk to McDonald's, which is about 1.5 kilometers, in the dark. And what are you going to do there? Well, I'm going to sit there and wait till the bus comes at 6 o'clock in the morning. Can you imagine this? And I went, what? Seriously. I said, seriously? No. I said, no. Do you do this? Oh, I do this all the time. It's okay, Chris. It's all right. I'll sit for 4 hours. And I'm thinking like, what is going on? No, get in the car. And you have friends? Get your friends in the car. And we're taking you home. Right, I'm not saying this to boast, but it's because of the stuff that I learned in this house, right, that I knew there's no way that should happen. There's no way. But you know what? With many people in the big church with 600 people, nobody really clued into, hey, she needs to be taken care of. She needs to be. So we are become aware. When you're in a body, you're become aware. I literally boast on you guys. I'll tell you something. Because even though it's been 17 years since we've been here, when we first moved here back in 1994, right? We moved into our house. All of these people came and moved us in. And then they brought casseroles for 2 weeks. And that was the DNA of the house. It was, but you know what? That doesn't happen in very many places. And I'm sure you still do that today. You know, when we moved, when we left and went to Exeter, we had like 25 people help us move. Maybe that wasn't such a good thing. I don't know. Get out of here, Chris. No, it was awesome. And so we stayed in connection. Our hearts were tied, even though we weren't here an awful lot. I still love this house. This is my house. This is my home. I really believe this is my home. I love this home.
Where are the TVs?
Where's the TVs? Good idea. All right. If it's to give generously. Generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. And if it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. All right? This is the whole thing about honor. This is all about honor. It's about how do I want people to treat me? It's really, really what it boils down to. How do I want to be treated? And I should treat people that way. Love must be sincere. Here's an interesting portion. Hate what is evil. I thought, oh my gosh, I never saw that before. Hate what is evil. That's awfully hard language. Hate what is evil. And I was saying, yeah, there are certain things that I actually do hate. I hate abortion. I hate that. It's deplorable. I hate. I believe that the body of Christ needs to be getting ready to not so much fight a battle, but there is a battle that needs to be won in the area of abortion, but we're going to win it differently than you think, because it's not going to be so much a fight, but of a fight. Right? And I think that season is coming. I'm writing a book on this right now. It's called The War Chest. And initially I thought it was going to be a financial planning book, and it's becoming a strategy for the battles that Canada needs to engage in for the sake of righteousness. Anyway. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keeping your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. You know what? You can tell. When a body is alive and it's engaging with one another, there's engagement. There's love for one another. There's real care. But when things go not well relationally, and I've been in leadership situations where things have not gone well, you'll find that you'll see in 1 Corinthians 11 where it talks about the body falling asleep. Right? You fall asleep by not discerning the Lord's body. So how do we keep from falling asleep? We keep relationships very open, very honest, very clean. If anything is muddy, or if there's any type of miscommunication, or you're not sure, you need to make things right. You have to stay on top of it, because you'll fall asleep otherwise. You don't want to fall asleep. Because when a church is asleep, it could take 10 years to reawaken. That's been my case. I've seen that. They fall asleep. It's important that we're awake, because if we're awake, because then you lose generations. Can you imagine? You lose. If you are asleep, and if you're carrying a fence, you fall asleep, and then the next generation literally suffers. So you have to stay awake. You have to make it right. I remember one time. Now this, do not do this. Now listen, you do not do this. I was young and foolish. I was young. Yeah, I was the guy was fathering me, didn't do a good job. No, I'm only kidding. But this guy came up to me and he says, Chris, you know, you said something the other day, and it really offended me. And my response was, are you serious? That was my response. Are you serious? You're offended by that? Oh my gosh, you need to get a life. Now that wasn't very good. That did not build bridges. That did not lead to healing. That didn't. That created a wedge. And because of my arrogance, and because of my maybe ambition or whatever it was, my pride, I didn't own up to it. And even if he was wrong, right? And he had no business being offended, I still needed to handle him much better. I needed to handle him with love. I needed to handle him to say, but instead I came off brush and curt and almost with a slap back. Who do you think you are? Don't you know who I am? I'm the worship leader, glory to God. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Oh, and I love this part. Practice hospitality. So if we need 40 cookies, 40 dozen, let's make 60 because we're practicing. That's practice hospitality. Practice. I used to play hockey when I was a young man in high school. And I was a goalie, and I was on some pretty good teams. And the major thing that being a goalie at that particular time, the major, major practice for me was falling down and getting up. And I would practice falling down and getting up for an hour a day. Can you imagine how boring that would be? Fall down, get up. Fall on your back, get up. Fall on your side, get up. Fall on your knees, get up. Get up, get up, get on up. I was a puck-stopping machine. But it was practice. I had to practice. If I wanted to be good at it, I had to practice. If you want to be good at hospitality, you have to practice. So we have six groups or so are going to have potluck, right? You know what? I'll tell you a secret. Don't tell anybody. All right? But one day, you could break out on your own, right? And have a potluck all on your own. Just because you're practicing. I'll tell you something about discipling. And if you want to know how to disciple people, I will tell you what I've learned on how to disciple people. The best place I've ever discipled people were not from where I was preaching. It was never from where I was preaching. It was usually at my table. And we would have, when we were here at Niagara, we would have kids at our table all the time. We were eating dinner all the time. They would be over at our house all the time. I remember one time we did a float from the house, and all the kids, and I was busy and wasn't paying attention, and they were teenagers, and it was all kinds of leaves, and all of the leaves that were outside of my house got inside of my house. And it was really kind of, what is this? Look at these leaves! You know, and it was just like, anyway, I was learning. Anyway, so, but it's practice! Practice. Here's again. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. This is my verse. This is the Apostle Paul knew that I was coming up. Because if you give me a hard time, I usually go, oh my goodness. You know what happened to me? I'm in an election right now. And I'm running for to be on the National Policy Committee for the Conservative Party of Canada. So I'm in the middle of this election, and I'm campaigning, and I've never done anything like this, and it's been quite the experience. I've been sending out email blasts and making hundreds of phone calls, talking to EDA presidents, which are basically committees that get people elected. And so I get a phone call from my EDA president. He says, Chris, we got a problem. I said, what do you mean? What's the problem? He says, you're ticking off people. I went, uh-oh. Who am I ticking off? You're ticking off LGBT community. Oh, why am I ticking them off? He says, I don't understand why. He says, I don't understand what's with these guys. He says, I don't know what bee they have in their bonnet, but I don't know why they don't like you. He says, because I like you, and he's gay. And he says, and you've had, you know, me and my partner over to your house, and you love us just like you just love us. He says, I don't know what their problem is. And so I told him, I don't know what your problem is. He says, because Chris loves us. He really cares about us. He's concerned about our lives. He cares. You are making a mistake. And they said, I don't know. So I get on the phone, and I'm talking with Eric, and I said, I don't understand. What is this? Ah, they're a bunch of bigots. That's what they are. Bigots. And I said, you know what, Eric? I eat bigots for breakfast. And he goes, what? Yeah, seriously. I said, can you imagine? Can you imagine if I made all these? Because they had phoned everybody, the 120 Ridens, and told them not to vote for me because I was something that I wasn't. So Eric says, you've got this wrong. You need to talk to Chris because this is not the person that you think he is. I don't know where you're getting your information from, but you need to deal with this. And so I said, yeah, I want to talk to this guy. Give me the phone number. I'm going to call him right now. And he says, no, wait. We'll let him call you. Okay. So I'm waiting and I'm waiting. And like for a day and a half, I'm like this chicken. I cannot believe that. And I'm like, can you imagine? If they were Christians, if I had called them and said, you can't vote for that guy because he's gay and I'm a Christian, do you know how kind of trouble I would have been in? And I thought, I'm justified. Well, Eric calls me back. And he says, Chris, I had a conversation with them. And I told them they're all wrong. And they said, Eric, you're right. We're wrong. And they called everybody back and said, no, vote for Chris. Because he cares about us. Now, do I love their lifestyle? No, I don't. What does the Bible says a lot about homosexuality. But I still love these guys. You know, when I saw, first time I met Eric, he was we were in a board meeting and people were attacking him. And I said, Derek, you need to know that I'm with you. Because you're the leader and I'm with you. I'm going to support you. And I told the board, if you attack him, you have to come through me. To attack him, because I said, we can have reasonable conversation, but you're not going to attack him. And so, just setting the kingdom in place there, in this place, because that's what we're supposed to do. We bring righteousness, peace, and joy wherever we go. So that's really interesting. So now they kind of like me, so which is good, because I want to see God break into their lives, and if I treat them like they've got some sort of disease and I don't want to talk to them, how can I talk to them then? How can I share them? How can I show the love of God to them if they don't even want to come near me? Right? I can't afford a television show. Rejoice with those who rejoice. That's fun. That's good. I like rejoicing with people who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. When people are going through a tough time and they're experiencing loss, empathize with them. Don't tell them it's okay, you'll get over it. Suck it up. Don't tell them that. Mourn with them. It's okay. You don't have to be in the victory all of the time. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of lower position. Do not be conceited. That's too hard for me. I'll just... Is there a delete on this? Huh? No. Do not repay evil with evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Oh, that's odd, isn't it? But do what's right in the eyes of everyone? But I have my rights! I have rights! I don't care about everybody. That's my rights. But what does it look to everyone? Especially when we're looking and when we're building, we live in a body where we are a family. All right? What's it look like? Be concerned about the least of the least or somebody who you feel doesn't have a say, but they actually do. I'm wrapping up here pretty soon. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live in peace with everyone. Do not take revenge. Don't take revenge, dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, mine, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, now listen to this. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. What? No. No. Have you ever been in church stuff when things get stinky? Right? And all of a sudden, the brothers become enemies. Have you ever had that happen? I've had that happen. I had this happen one time. Somehow I ended up on the wrong side of the fence. And, which is not that hard for me. And there was this animosity, and the people were swirling and talking and saying things and just not trusting each other. And that trust was violated. And I had this new jacket. And it had a big basketball on the back. It was when the Raptors just changed their logo. And it had a big claw, and it swished claw marks in the ball, right? And I had people that I got on the wrong side of the fence with and was like, look at that. He even wears an evil jacket. Look at that. It's got to be demonic. He's gone to the dark side. Look, it's got like claws. That's Satan's basketball he's playing now. And it's just, that's what was happening. I could hear, because I'm prophetic, I could hear stuff. And it's like, what is going on? This is weird. But I didn't have the grid. Nobody told me, this is how you do this. This is how you deal with relational breakdown. If you don't think you're going to have it, if you don't have it and you haven't had it yet, great. But if it comes, you'll know what to do. It's in Romans 12. Listen to this. And here it comes. It's my favorite part. It's really what I wanted to say today. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Yay! Now, what does that mean? Now, when you read this, you start to read like, okay, you're going to give him food. You're going to give him something to drink. And then you're going to put burning coals on his head. Is this like Home Alone 2? It doesn't make any sense. Right? How do we go here? Here, Brad. Here, have a drink. Burn his head off. It's not what it means. Back in the days, this past week in Oshawa, we had a power outage like for 4 hours. And the first, 45 minutes, we were sitting there in the dark. And Marilyn and Lydia got the candles out, and Lydia's thrilled about the flashlights on and off and on and off, because it's good. It's all good. It's dark. It's flashlights. How fun! It's like camping inside. And so after 45 minutes, I went, I wonder how long this is going to take. How long will this take? It's 45 minutes. Come on. So I get out the phone. There, Oshawa CPUC. Okay. Go on their website. Their website's crashed. Oh, this is bigger than I thought. And I'm thinking, this better hurry up. I'm using, the Wi-Fi's gone, and I'm using data, and Marilyn will be mad. So then I go to Facebook. Nothing on Facebook. There's nothing happening. I go on Twitter and I say, yes, power will come back at 8 o'clock. And this is the area that is out. And it's basically, so I check on the map and it's like, yep, we're out. Just like the map says. They don't have it. Neither do we. And neither does just about everyone else. So we're it's all dark. And it's like, man, this is cool. And my kids are getting antsy. It's like, they're having internet withdrawal after 2 hours. It's getting tense in the house, We have Lydia opens the fridge. The fridge doesn't work. Yes, that's right. It doesn't work. Keep the door closed. And so we become really dependent on electricity and all the stuff that we have, heat and warmth. So back in Rome, there was this guy, and he had a job. And his job was to carry burning coals on his head. And a big container. I'm sure he had some sort of insulation on top. Or no hair. Who knows? Had big mitts. And he would go from house to house. Middle of the afternoon. And he would come to the door and he'd knock on the door. And a person would come to the door and he'd say, here it is. Here's your burning coal. And they'd go and they'd put it in the stove. And that was such a need, that little coal. It would give them heat when it was cold. It would give them a source of heat to cook food. And at nighttime, it would give them light so that they could stay awake later than 5:30. You ever read that? You ever thought that was odd? How did we transition from, all right, feed the poor, give them something to drink, and then, now you understand, you're starting to understand. Here, now what you're really supposed to do is you're supposed to be the guy who comes to the house and says, here's a source of life. Essentially, it's life. Source of heat, source to cook food, source to give light. So when you have enemies and you want to, and having enemies is not a good thing, but this is what it says. You want to win them over, you want to change the situation, right? It's be the coal. Bring that heat. Bring that source of food. Bring that source of life. Totally changes the paradigm. We're not supposed to set them on fire. We're supposed to love on them. You're supposed to, and that's not just outside, because sometimes internally, we have enemies in the house. Sometimes we get enemies in the house. I know not you guys, but me, I could have enemies sometimes. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil but with good. And that's what I want to say today. I just want to bless this house because I know it's a house of honor. I know it is. And I know it's a generous house, but I want you to practice even more. Because it's not that we practice with us. It's good to practice amongst us. It is really good because this is a good place to practice, right? But I've said this for 20 years. You're the pastor of your street. You're the pastor of your street. You're the pastor of your job. Be generous with your co-workers. Be generous with your neighbors. Be generous. No matter where you go, be generous. Be kind. Smile at someone. Just smile. Say, hi.
Hi.
Works. All right. That's it. That's all I have to share. I just want to encourage you. Christmas is coming, so this is a good time to practice. And I see that you're already practicing with all the cookies and stuff like that. I love the fact. I boast on you guys. And I tell all my other leader friends about this place. And I tell them about the storefront and what an awesome. Oh, man, everybody needs one of these. I tell them, we need to have one. I actually told our leaders, we need one downtown. Let's go. Come on. We'll go to Niagara, we'll show you what it looks like. Go. I mean, it's really good.